From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast Day M. Next hour, The Power of Premonitions with Dr. Larry Dorsey. Should be a phenomenal program. Astronauts aboard the shuttle Atlantis grab the Hubble Space Telescope in a robotic embrace, setting the stage for an ambitious 5 spacewalk marathon of upgrades and repairs. Atlantis and his crew of 7 astronauts latched onto a Hubble with the shuttle's robotic arm while flying about 350 miles above Australia. They are the first visitors to the space telescope in 7 years. A Canadian scientist was stopped at the U.S. border last week after authorities found 22 vials used in Ebola research from Canada's National Microbiology Lab. He had it with him. Now, the incident has sparked controversy and serious questions about security protocols at the Winnipeg lab that contains some of the world's most deadliest pathogens. The 42-year-old man, Conan Michael Yao, was apprehended by U.S. officials as he attempted to enter the United States in North Dakota, the border crossing from Manitoba, on May 5th. Yao faces U.S. criminal charges for smuggling and is currently in the custody of U.S. Marshals. He was carrying unidentified biological materials and vials wrapped in aluminum foil inside of a glove, wrapped in a plastic bag in the trunk of his car. He said he had a new job with the National Institutes of Health. That was confirmed, by the way. Men really do have an excuse for supposedly being wimpy about coughs and colds. Their immune systems are not as strong as women's, according to research. A Canadian study indicates that the female sex hormone estrogen gives women's immune systems added bite at fighting off infection. Estrogen seems to counter an enzyme which blocks the inflammatory process. Now, lots of us, when we go into the office, we'll put a little, maybe an orange or something in the office refrigerator, right? And how many times have you looked at that refrigerator and went, yuck? Well, now listen to this. In San Jose, California, an office worker cleaning a refrigerator full of rotten food created a smell so nauseous that it sent 7 co-workers to the hospital and made others ill. Firefighters had to evacuate the AT&T building in downtown San Jose after the fumes prompted someone to call 911. Hazmat teams were called in. What they found was an unplugged refrigerator that had been crammed with moldy food. The Obama administration's new drug czar says he wants to banish the idea that the U.S. is fighting a war on drugs, a move which would underscore a shift favoring treatment over incarceration in trying to reduce illicit drug use. In his first interview since being confirmed to head the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, Gil Kerlikowske said that this was an analogy was a barrier to dealing with the nation's drug issues. His comments are a signal that the Obama administration is set to follow a more moderate and likely more controversial stance on the nation's drug problems. General Motors Corporation and Chrysler aim to drop as many as 3,000 U.S. dealers now and expected to begin sending notifications as early as Thursday to those dealers. GM facing a U.S. government-imposed deadline of June 1st to restructure or file for bankruptcy is expected to send termination notices to up to 2,000 dealers, a third of its roughly 6,000 U.S. dealers. Chrysler, which filed for bankruptcy on April 30th, will also tell now up to 1,000, we thought it was 800 yesterday, 1,000 of its 3,100 U.S. dealers that it is terminating their franchise agreements. These developments come as dealer representations have stepped up lobbying in Washington to try to slow down the closures. They estimate 200,000 jobs will be lost. The number of U.S. households faced with losing their homes to foreclosure jumped 32% in April compared with the same month last year. Nevada, Florida, California showing the highest rates. Mish Sedlock, registered investment advisor. It still just doesn't seem to go away, Mish.
No, it doesn't. And I think the real story now is what's going on in California. This is kind of breaking news. The treasurer of California made a formal request today to Tim Geithner for California to get tap into the TARP funds. Meanwhile, we have a state of emergency. Well, they're claiming that he needs up to $13 billion, but that $13 billion assumes that on May 19th that California is going to pass Propositions 1A through 1F. George, I don't think they're going to pass those, and that's going to leave them $29 billion in the hole. Then what's going to happen? Now, we're also seeing the L.A. mayor is requested the city council to request a fiscal emergency. There are $500 million in the hole. He wants the unions to agree to some wage cuts, and the unions have said no. So what's going to happen there? Meanwhile, Obama administration has threatened California if they don't restore some of the cuts that the California state legislature took away from the unionized healthcare workers, that they're not going to give California some $7 billion in funds that California has coming to it. The crisis in California is going to come to a head, and it's not going to be pretty.
What I'm amazed at, Mish, it seems like people are still screwing around, working, shopping, doing things, yet the news continues to get worse. I'm amazed at that. What about you?
It is pretty staggering. I mean, there's all this talk of green shoots. I don't know. I looked at it today. What was interesting about green shoots is everyone said that they expected spending to be up. Well, it actually wasn't. So some of this is just talk. The government said, you know, that spending was up, car sales are up. I looked at car sales. They were up a couple of percent from last month, but they were down 22% from a year ago. Meanwhile, the rebates that they're offering to consumers to buy these cars is staggering. Then, if they clear these lots, George, it's going to take away demand. All they're going to do is bring forward demand from next year. They're just digging themselves a deeper hole.
Until next time, Mish. Mish's blog, by the way, you can find, just search, put in his name, M-I-S-H. Oscar-winning director Martin Scorsese will direct the big-screen movie about the colorful life of entertainment legend Frank Sinatra, who many of his fans called Old Blue Eyes. Casting is yet to be announced for the role of Sinatra, arguably the most popular singer of his era, and who also struck box office gold with roles such as his Oscar-winning turn in From Here to Eternity in 1953. That should be a fantastic movie. Long after last summer's Montauk Monster rotted away, another mysterious animal carcass now has washed up on a Long Island, New York beach. MontaukMonster.com, which bills itself as the official Montauk Monster website, announced that a hairless, bloated body was found by a local couple on the island's North Fork. We've got the story up there at coasttocoastam.com. In a moment, we'll be talking with psychic and medium Marla Fries on Coast to Coast AM. Marla Fries has mediated relationships between the dead and the living and has worked all over the country assisting law enforcement agencies unravel homicide cases. Marla has had advanced training in consciousness and quantum physics, as well as traveled and worked with world-famous psychic medium James von Prague, who's been our guest on Coast to Coast and who will be our show guest on Monday night. Here is Marla Fries. Hey, Marla, how are you?
George, I'm great. How thrilling it is to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, I got your name from our dear friend Whitley Strieber. Of course, you're going to be down at the Dreamland Festival the end of June in Nashville, aren't you?
With Whitley? June 26th through the 28th, correct.
It should be a great event. Tell me a little bit about you.
Wow. Well, George, I was born in Pennsylvania in a small town, and I went all over the country as an actress for a number of years until I ended up in Los Angeles. And I gave up that acting career to really pursue what my calling is. And I didn't think it was talking to dead people, and I certainly didn't think it was being a psychic for law enforcement, but here I am.
Here you are. Now tell me about the law enforcement work.
Well, you know, it's tricky because there are some of us who really have a skill to assist anyone who basically wants to take us up on what we have to offer. It's been my pro bono work for a number of years, and I just try to provide another way of seeing things and perhaps information, either from the deceased or tapping into the perpetrator for law enforcement officers who are willing to work with me. But as I said, you know, it's one of those things that's tricky. I'll be working with Allison Dubois on a pilot coming up soon.
Okay.
That has something to do with law enforcement. But there are those of us, George, who really do feel as though we want to help our communities. And this is, you know, this is not about being right. This is about assisting these agencies and possibly gaining access to information that they might not see.
Marla, this gift that you have, I assume you've always had it. Did it show a lot, though, when you were smaller?
You know, talking to the dead didn't, although it was very noisy in my house for a number of reasons, but the psychic elements were there, and it was hard. It was one of those things where you grow up in a Judeo-Christian, you know, Bible Belt, and you are taught that this kind of seeing or intuition is not necessarily embraced by a lot of people. And I had to fight that. And now I basically use it in a transformational way, helping people bridge the dogma that they are having hard times with as far as organized religion, to understand that our Bible and our Judeo-Christian teachings are lots based on prophecy, vision, intuition, and I try and help people with that, George.
How does this come to you? Do you meditate, or does it just appear to you?
You know, it's kind of like, I like to describe it, you remember what you did for breakfast this morning, right?
Yeah, I don't eat much breakfast.
Well,
so I remember that.
You know, your routine, you can see it in your head.
Yeah.
Well, when I'm working psychically, I will get impressions that are not my memories. They're someone else's. And if I'm working as a medium, it's kind of the same way. I'm hearing information from someone else and being shown situations that have nothing to do with my life, but the person that I'm working with.
Does that change in terms of the information from the someone else? Does that someone else change every time you get different information?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, because I've really researched where this information comes from. When it's mediumship work, it's very specific, like, hi, it's Sam, and I want to talk about, you know, Brenda. And they will come in, and I will feel the physical presence of them, sometimes how they died, sometimes the physical sensations of their actual death. I can feel a pop in my head for an aneurysm, or I'll start to burp if someone passed from cancer. There are the clairsentience, or the sensations in my body that allow me to feel someone who has deceased come and try and communicate.
Can you turn it off at will?
Yes, I can. And it's taken me a while to do that. But the psychic information is information that is given to me about you or someone else. It can be anything from medical intuition to the structure of your house, your car. I get a lot with compromise and structure, George. I can feel the trajectory of a project. I can feel the foundation of a house and not have to go there. It's just, it shows up almost like a negative of a photograph. I feel the compromise first.
Marla, I love animals. You work with animals. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a quick funny story. A couple of years ago, I went on a date, and this just lovely person that I was having dinner with, we got into a conversation about animals. And, you know, you don't have to own an animal, but when she said, I don't like animals. I don't like dogs.
You drove her home right away, didn't you?
No, I left her there. I left her. She gave her cab money. I ended it right there, because that told me volumes.
Yeah, you didn't have to pay for dinner, did you, George?
No.
Good.
No, I did. I took care of the dinner. I didn't have to pay for it, but I did. But you have to love animals. You do. But tell me about your work with animals.
Well, you know, it's just the darndest thing. I think that dogs, especially dogs and horses, I have a cat, and sometimes he's just so fed up with me not listening to him, but dogs and horses, animals that need to say something to their owners, will talk to me. I am near a pet food store, and occasionally I will be crossing, you know, crossing the way there and run into a dog that really will have something to say. They need attention. I was just in my mail center the other day, and I was not in the best of moods, and this woman walked by with her dog, and I literally heard the dog say, please tell her that my bottom hurts. And I was just, I usually don't go where I'm not invited, George, but I just had to say something, and I said, you know, honey, your dog's butt hurts. And she said, I know, he has hemorrhoids. And
a dog has hemorrhoids?
And then I could feel the dog's anxiety, and the dog told me, you know, I'm so worried what she's going to do to me tomorrow. And I said, you know, your dog's really worried about what you're going to do to him tomorrow. And she said, yeah, I'm going to have his balls cut off. So, you know, George, I think the humor of this is that she just didn't get it. I think the sad part was that the dog was really sort of anxious, and I tried to help him out by talking to his owner, but I don't know, George. I don't know how I was left with her. I think she was a little upset.
Poor dog. I wonder what ever happened to her.
Well, these animals do cry out. They do have information. When I sit and I work with one, they'll tell me what they like, what they don't like. I remember another dog jumping out of his owner's truck and saying, look, I really prefer to jump out of the Volvo instead of the other car because it's harder on my feet. It's much higher. I prefer.
That's interesting.
Oh, and you know, I really like the dog down the street. I'm anxious to spend time with a little black lab that I spent time with a few months ago. Or I really don't like the way you withhold treats from me, Dad. And this is the life of a dog. They love us, they love us, they love us, but they do have things that they're concerned about. They don't like it when we're upset with our partners. They don't like it when we talk angrily in the kitchen to our husband or our wife. They don't like that. They like love, they want support, and they want to be just as comfortable as we want them to be.
The intuition that you possess, is that the same as your psychic ability?
Yes. To me, psychic and intuition and clairvoyance and
all the same.
It's all the same. You know, people give the word psychic a bad rap. I just had to call it something. And psychic of the mind, of the spirit, of the body, of the mind and spirit. That's what it is.
And I think a lot of people, if they could use their intuition, because we all possess this, could really change their day-to-day lives.
Well, George, you are actually tapping into what my first book is about. I'm in the process of launching my first book proposal.
Good for you.
And I've had the greatest assistance from a wonderful author, Antonia Felix, who's taken me under her wing, and we're working with this great agent out of New York. And it is my intention to really show how intuition is your God-given gift. And we have this available to us at any time. It's tapping into the source to give us this information every single day. It's whether we're open to it, it's whether we're going to listen to it, and when we do, there could be miracles.
I think successful people, and my definition of a successful person is not with money. It's with life. It's a person who is successfully happy within themselves. I think those people have incredible intuition, don't you?
Well, you know, George, that's probably chapter two of the book.
I love it.
And you haven't even read it.
I'm remote viewing your book.
You certainly are. Oh, gosh, we have to talk to Lynn Buchanan about that. Yes, there is a lot. There's so much wounding going on with adults. There's so much childhood wounding, George, that it is imperative to clear the path of the wounding, heal yourself so that you can listen to this God-given intuition. And people are in a lot of pain. I mean, you and I are watching this every single day. I listen to your news. There's so much wounding, the wars, everything that has happened post 9/11 to our consciousness. We are in a state of fear.
Absolutely. Stay with us. Marla Freese, our special guest, a website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Time for your phone calls as well. Questions for Marla next. Up next, Dr. Larry Dossey joins us, The Power of Premonitions. Looking forward to that. When we come back, Marla Fries and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Marla, has this gift ever been a curse for you, ever?
Well, I don't think it was easily accepted in my own home growing up as a child. I had a lot to offer, and they didn't want to hear it.
not genetic, then. It wasn't a family thing, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't. Well, you know, sometimes it's hard when you hear things for yourself that you don't really want to pay attention to. And you know the old adage of God taps you on the shoulder, then slaps you, then hits you over the head with a brick? Well, those things happen to me, too. So I'm the first one to have to go, well, you know, I might be working for someone else, but I have to pay attention to the subtle information that I'm being given, whether it's about a certain bill that's coming in the mail, a tax, something about taxes, something about a program not going right or a project not going right, or a divorce.
Next hour, we're going to talk with an expert on premonitions. And
yeah,
one of his stories that he researched is a woman who had a dream that a chandelier, which was always over her baby crib where she had her child, was going to fall and crash and crush the kid.
Oh.
And she had this horrible dream. So she woke up and took the kid out of the crib and moved the crib.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours later, the chandelier crashed to the ground.
Well, you know what, George? I think that dreams are a wonderful source of premonition. I think that, oh, my God, well, that's how I got to Van Prague, actually. I saw him in person, and I came home after seeing him do a live demonstration. I got down on my hands and knees and said, I don't know what this communicating with the dead is all about, but the gift that I'm being given and the psychic work that I have and I want to share, I need assistance with this. I need to understand what this is. And I had a dream that went on for 4 hours, and I woke up and, oddly enough, told one of Van Prague's personal assistants within the next 48 hours, and I was in his apartment. And it was based on that dream. And I ended up working and traveling with him for about 4 years based on that dream.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, I love Cleveland.
You love Cleveland?
I love Cleveland.
I need my call in Cleveland. There we go. Beverly, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Beverly.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I just wanted to ask, you know, like when somebody commits suicide, can she communicate with them and find out why? And are they okay? And
you know, Beverly, that's a good question. I don't have any judgment about suicide. Everybody has their own, you know, feeling about what that actually means. I think that the person that takes their life is in so much trouble, and they didn't get the kind of assistance that they needed here on the earth plane. When they cross over, I have been able to communicate with some of them. They've gotten assistance. Some people are sort of able to move past that and forward and get assistance themselves as well as be of assistance to other people. Then there are some people who are stuck. I think those who are terminally ill, who seek the assistance of death by their own hand, still have the same anxiety of preventing their life process. You know, when we're here on this earth plane, Beverly, and we're ill or when we're troubled, we have opportunities. We have opportunities to gain assistance for ourselves, as well as we are teaching tools for other people in our lives. And when we cut that short, when we take our hand and do it we take God's life force away from us by our own hand, it takes the process away from the learning experience, and it cuts our contract on this earth plane short. So there is an opportunity for those who have crossed over to communicate, and it's happened a number of times. But I always say, those of your loved ones who have perhaps had that happen, you just pray for them, pray for them. And prayer is very powerful. They on the other side hear it, as well as they get assistance by our prayers for them. Does that answer?
You do medical readings, too, almost like Edgar Casey did.
Well, I wouldn't put myself in the category of Edgar Casey. I would certainly say that when spirit, which I call the God force or the source of this intuition, wants to give you information about a health malady, they will share that. Now, it's happened with numerous people who are complete strangers to me. And then, of course, I went through a tragic event of one of my dearest friends who had fourth-stage ovarian cancer, where spirit did not reveal that information. The only thing that spirit gave me was, she needs to see a different doctor. And it was her path, George. It was her path that she needed to experience this, and she was on the path to crossing over. So we don't know the answers to all of these things, but when there is an intervention and when spirit wants you to get some help, they can make that intervention, and I'm happy to be of assistance to do that.
So you like Cleveland. What do you think about Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
I was from Bedford.
All right, great.
Yes, I played in Cleveland, and I love it. I think it's a terrific town.
Let's go to first-time caller Jim in Pittsburgh. Hey, Jim.
Hey, George. How you doing?
We're great. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much for getting me through 2 years of Night Turn. It was your show that made it bearable. I work in law enforcement here, and sometimes it would get really lonely on the field, and your show made it possible.
Great.
I have a little question for Marla, though. So my wife and I, we rescue Bichons before we had our children.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one, the one we adopted, has some pretty serious health issues, and we've heard her talking to us from kind of like the back part of the brain, heard her loud and clear. But, I'm wondering if we're doing right by her and how we can cultivate that sense of listening to her.
You know, that's a really, I'm sorry, what's your first name again? What's your first name, sir?
Jim,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Jim, I think that being sensitive, the way that you and your wife are, even by, addressing this issue, is the first step. The second thing is, when you communicate to the animal, do it telepathically. Try it where you're quiet and you're thinking questions like, what do you need? Are you hungry? Show me where you hurt. And do it in a telepathic way and see if the animal is responding to you. The dog might jump up in your lap. He might move over to the kitchen. But it's an opportunity for you to practice this so that you start to gain a language with the animal. Sometimes speaking in a soft tone will give the animal an opportunity to know that you're really trying to communicate with it. So maybe those suggestions might be helpful to you. I do see something. Do you mind if I say something about the dog?
Oh, please.
There's a shoulder area. It's right under the shoulder blade area in the back. It would be for us our thoracic area. So that seems to be really tender. Maybe she had her foot or her paw pulled or the arm socket pulled at one time. It would be very helpful to the animal to have that stimulated. Do you know where I'm talking about?
Is that the front or the rear?
It's the front.
Oh, okay. Is it the male dog or the female?
I think it's the female, and I feel like it's on her right side.
Because the female actually has a fused hip joint on the right-hand side.
Okay. And it may be radiating. It might be a myofascial trigger point of it under the front legs. If she's trying to compensate for the back leg problem, needs massage in that front part. Okay?
Outstanding. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Marla.
I know that was a little weird, but...
Well, if you see it, you see it.
I saw it.
I've got a dear friend in St. Louis. She's 73 years old. She's like my mother, but she calls herself an older sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a dog that died once, and she was in just tremendous depression. I mean, she had a couple cats and a couple dogs, and they're like her kids.
Of course.
And this little dog died. So me being who I am, went out and got her a puppy just like the one who died. Mm. And, you know, she took care of him and stuff, but she named him Georgie. But he's got some kind of affliction because he turns his head to the left and he lifts his left hind leg at the same time. So, you know, it could be a neurological thing. Mm. And but she calls him Georgie. So one day she's on a ski, you know, one of these ski seat things. I'm not a skier, but those things that people sit
lift,
on. The lift. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's with her girlfriend and the girlfriend's son. And they're talking. And the kid says, "How's Georgie doing?" And she said, "Well, he's doing okay. But, you know, when he walks, he lifts his left leg up and his head twitches badly to the left at the same time." And he said, "That's amazing." And she said, "What? That he could still do his radio show and walk like."
Yeah, I was just going to say, see?
Thought it was me. Thought it was me. Next up, Ava in Las Vegas. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ava.
Hi, good evening, George. Hey. Hello, Marla. How are you?
Hi, Ava. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to speak with you as well. I feel so lucky that I got through. And I had a feeling that I'd be able to get through. It's amazing.
There you go.
George, you are truly one of my heroes, just to let you know.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, well, our family cat recently died. We had her for like 17 years, and my brother was the one that was with her. But, you know, she was still mine as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very, very ill. And at first, initially, when we found out she was ill, he couldn't let her go.
Mm.
And then as the days went by, he began to accept the fact that he had to let her go.
Yeah.
And on the way to the hospital where I was going to, you know, get her euthanized, I played the radio, and this song came on that I've never heard. And I played classical music for her because I thought it'd be peaceful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the song was "I'm on my journey home" or something.
Oh.
And in the car, though, she looked so peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was truly the first time my children were dealing with death, and I was trying to explain to my daughter that, well, her body will stay here, but she's going to go to heaven, and that's my question. I mean, I want to believe that she's gone to heaven, you know, that sort of thing. So
well, you know, heaven is a word, and we can describe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we all have our different viewpoints or opinions of what we think that happens to be. And you know what? I'll be really honest. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there is a doggy heaven, but I do know this. There is a place that they go to be with other animals and they also go to be with our deceased loved ones. I had a client a couple of days ago over the phone, and I basically said it was actually about a Bichon Frise. And I said, well, the Bichon Frise is with the mother. And she said, well, where are the cats? And I said, they're with Aunt Alice.
Oh.
And, you know, that's the information that I got. Sometimes,
wow.
I know that our dear Rottweiler that passed, he was like my son. You know, when he passed, I was shown a vision that he was behind a gate with lots of other dogs and tons of green tennis balls. And I want to believe that because that would be my joy for him.
Yeah,
And because I speak with, you know, the other side, they tell me, you know, I've got the cat. Oh, Ava, you'll love this story. You know, it's always wonderful when I can help someone else, but when someone can help me, another medium can help me, it's extraordinary. You know, even I'm skeptical. But when my father crossed over and came through at a luncheon through another medium, he basically said at the end, Fred is with me. And the medium said, is Fred black? And I said, oh, yes, Fred's very black. And the woman did not know that Fred was a cat. She basically said, I just am being told that Fred is black and that he's with your dad. And he was run over by our next-door neighbor. And it gave me such joy to know that Fred was with my dad. And here I am at a luncheon speaking with a woman who is also trained as a medium. And just to have that, oh, that joy, that, you know, that wonderful knowledge that my dear animal was with my father gave me such great hope and joy. And you know what? You might want to explain that to your children. You might want to start to explain that there is the possibility that when we die, it's our consciousness that goes on. And it might, if you want to explain that as heaven, then that's just fine. but that Grandma and Grandpa and Joey and Jill, who died in the car accident, are in another place, but we can still communicate with them. It's our God-given right. You know, I'm a student of Christ's teachings. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and who shall ever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I believe that that's our birthright.
Good advice. Next up, let's go to Blake, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Ava, thanks for your call. Hey,
thank
Blake,
you,
go ahead.
Hi, yes. I have a quick story and then a quick question. Pretty much all throughout my life, I've been to people's houses, and, you know, they've had cats that, you know, they've left the room, and then they've come back, and I'm, you know, the cat's up in my lap, and I'm petting it, and then they come back, and they're like, "What are you doing?" And, well, I'm just saying hi to your cat. And they're like, "Well, that cat doesn't like anybody else but me." And I thought it was funny too, but you know, that's happened, you know, numerous occasions. And the quick question that I had was, we have, here at my house, we have two strays that we've picked up, and, you know, they started hanging around because basically we feed them, and, you know, what's better than a free meal. But, there's one that we call, Hermione. And there's another one that we call Muffin. And Hermione will, you know, he will come up and he'll, you know, he'll let me pet him. But Muffin is very skittish, mm-hmm. and won't, you know, he looks like he wants attention and wants to be touched and wants to be petted. But, you know, whenever we get within a foot of him, you know, he runs away. And basically what I'm asking is, you know, how do I reach him, and how do I let him know that it's okay?
Well, first off, let me address the reason that the cats come to you. Cats are very astral. The astral body is the part of you that goes out at night and comes back with dreams. It's the part of you that it's an energetic frequency that can literally leave your body and go get information and come back. It's also the emotional body. And people who are sensitive, who are highly psychic, cats seem to really enjoy being around them. You emit a frequency that is probably very high, and the cat recognizes it and feels comfortable and familiar with it. In answer to your question, I don't know. We have to talk to Cesar Millan about that one.
Oh, yeah. We've had him on the show. He's good.
But I do say that sometimes when you have two cats together and they're diametrically opposed in their personalities, it's basically because of the other cat. And if you were alone with Muffin, or if Muffin was alone with you and your family, you might see a different behavior. There's something going on between the two of them.
All right. Marla, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for being on the program. Give my regards to Whitley and Ann Streber,
you know,
when you see them.
Thank you so much. I do want to say I'm going to be at the Sun Valley Wellness Festival in Idaho, May 22nd through the 25th, and that Dreamland Festival at the end of June in Nashville, and I hope to see all of you.
Great. Thanks. Marla Fries, psychic. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with the Powers of Premonitions with Dr. Larry Dossey on Coast to Coast AM.